Yeah.
Curse touch. This was not the conclusion. This was not the conclusion they would have had wished for. This was a grim end, by contrast with the original scheme. They had wanted power, riches, debauchery, all that life had to offer. And for that goal, they signed a bond, their soul as wages, for everything else to abound. They expected and waited, hoped even, for some of the world to go to waste. With clear hearts and sinister consciousness, they prayed for the end. That prayer was a convenient covenant, a bargain to yield no bare gain. Those five men and women accepted themselves as the end of it, removed from the world that they would soon rule, once out of the bunker they were about to enter. A bunker and a pact with the devil, while hellfire would ravage the earth, concrete land. This is not what was found after the aborted end. In the closed premises, what the humanity of the outside discovered was the aftermath of fulfilled promises. It was no gold. Powers rose and waned, riches were consumed. Of the debauchery, nothing will be told. Except maybe that a lifeless body cradling a laughing baby with left fingers missing. Those five people had meant the world to one another, had been each other's insanity. They had accepted to be the phalanx of evil and the demon that was born from this crushing grip onto them is now gripping the phalanx of a rescuer.
Butterfly effect. In lands where extreme temperatures prevail, caterpillars are targeted by certain deadly parasites that bore into their crown. The victims lose their heads, but yield powerful aphrodisiac that Himalayan farmers turn to cash, availing of nature's darker side. In cooler climes, their less exotic kin trail their fur coats across cabbage leaves as they feed on a surrounding vegetation. In the shadow of what's coming down the track, high above them, joint caterpillar wheels powered by lumbering engines will flatten fern and fuchsia, crush to pulp the lumbering tears, the tumbling tears of God. Food that might sustain them for a leap to silver radiance. Fewer wings will flutter by, stir the air, raise tornadoes far across the globe.
Jamie Lawton,
Listen to that, lads. The language is back. Because we've got podcasts and pop-ups and pretty good rap tracks that backtrack the narrative that it is waning. Waxing's more like it. It's time for reclaiming the Gaelic that ancient invaders would take from us. Not that I'm saying our neighbours are hated, but this is our chance to just take it all back in our verses, our poems, our songs, and our tracks. My Gaelic is basic. I need some more training, so I'll try to rein in my fear of mistaking a shevu or oru or tishin or two. My fear of inflaming a bout of complaining from militant Gaelgory, sitting ashamed that I left out some shevaha. All I can say is that if we're afraid of engaging full stop, the rate of revival will drop. We can't let that happen. The fact of the matter is that when the Sassanig left us Ganchanga, they left us with half of our literary hands to be tied up and trapped behind all of our backs. So I freed up my atrophied love, and I'll see what it has in the tank. Nilak kupla fokla gompak, fanigi nomad agus eishtigi lom, tanchanga bio agus pekshiga jo, ma yirfaina enradella, na eishlo, ta papa gaita down agus bana mar kneecap, is a shinan on the egg dana von recap mar nirarna. Near Yarna Mace Padera Skelgir Fag Okmina Oknap Wilmisha and Shot Dane of Tina Aaron Microphone. Ni Bean Bail in a Hust, Agos, Ta Isagum Gul Kuma, Lehena Akatasa Locked, Ta Five and Enough, Ta Dina Buck, Ta Dina Sleeping Rough, Ta Dina Aaron Shoidena, a Gairi Four, a Gairi Flock, Octar Gultur, Anna Toktuk, Star Changa Part and Skull, Ta Gilga Chapt, Arasharish, Nis Farna Vishiri.
Feels like a living room session nearly. Right, I'm working up my poems from America. This is like literally from years ago. And the script, the original script, is from 1991. And I've only changed very few words. I literally sat down a couple of hours before Obeil tonight to actually pull it out of the notebook and get it into light. And I didn't change much. So I don't know if it's finished. I'll have to see. This is a true story. The Golden Ladybug. Once upon an olden time, I found a ladybug of gold. Be good, and all the luck at hand, you will with happiness behold. She fell into the swimming pool, her tiny feet searching for hold. So wet, small wings made out of gold, life lost in water, threatening pool. Amazed, I looked and looked again, and tried with hollow hand to save. The water through my fingers ran, to grateful eyes a thank you gave. Relieved, the gold bug rested calm, small body sitting in my palm. Four dots, her back adorning bright, reflect the golden noon sunlight. I asked, is this a ladybug? A golden one, it means good luck, my friend said, smiling happily. This was the first I'd ever seen. I slowly swam to basin's edge and sheltered my new helpless friend from drops of water with my hand. No one should splash my pretty catch. The bug awoke, came back to life, and I with fascination watched how slowly her thin wings she stretched and tried against the wet to strive. She moved her legs, first left then right, her gold plate back shone sunny bright. She stepped and ran and tried to race, but then sat down and wiped her face. I left the water to sit down and watched my friend with worried frown. If she would fly, my ladybug, then I knew she'd bring good luck. The tryouts worked, she crawled my finger, then at the very tip she'd linger and pumped her tender wing. She flies, the little thing. I quietly spoke my greatest wish, and there she flew, my ladybug. Good luck, my friend, I said, good luck, and take it home, this golden wish. And deep inside of me I knew my golden ladybug would try, and I would know soon in July if safely with my wish she flew. I cannot tell what I desired, for if you want a wish come true, a little silence is required. the golden wish is just on you.
Patricia Walsh. Thank you. This called the unusual question. A slippery talker, divesting innocence, lubricated by drugs and alcohol regularly, spectrum of lunacy hard worn by necessity on any given night, fancifulness execution. The fascistic distance between me and them, drinking on concrete for shorter than deserved, shunted away by Gardaí for better bearing. This one never existed but to humiliate. The man is utterly insane. Funny to a point, insistence and orders find rejection. The musical climax never on your watch. Any satisfaction is yours alone, likely. Being very good, shifting out the wheels of charges, wishing to legalize everything as state stands. Growing through experience in my lot in life. Distance from source is my only escape. Repetitive phone calls taken up at last, before revenge porn never existed. For that I'm grateful, ditto smartphones, peeing down whereabouts on any given day. What was seen in you evaporates eventually. The cult of the waster never lost on you. Promising much, never deliver, has been done before. Sacrificing apogees of heightened sense. Thanks.
Come on, Patricia. Seamus Harrington.
Julie. That time of the year again. Jemmy. Snare drums rattling, trombone zoom, tenor sax screaming, double bass boom, guitars twanging from electric heights, chimes still tinkle to muted lights. Silver flutes tootle, percussions brush, clarinets warble to alto sax gush. Trumpets calling, tambourines jing, hi-hat lifting to cowbells ring. The sirens blare, notes so shrill, harmonicas bleat to whistles trill. Banjo's rat-a-tat will curtly reply to conch shell echo of piccolo high. Xylophones hit with tubas rude, bongo's rhythm get in the mood. Keyboards persisting, notes so brash, French horns burping, cymbals crash. Oboes blending as fiddles in sync, give jiving cats no time to think. Baby, that's jazz!
It's like a small but a wonderful crowd here. I'm just going to try out a new poem that's a bit risky. I think there's something wrong with me. This is a love poem towards a printer.
That's the title.
It could be, it doesn't have a title. Might as well be. It's a LaserJet, HP LaserJet. But just say CP 2040 in all the times. Anyway. LaserJet, with your adjustable clanking mouth, you plastic printing press, mechanical hymn, scent of toxic ink, let me crawl into your mouth and curl up into your ink cartridge, snuggle tight in your blackness. Print me out into a love poem on A4 white. Stole me like a paper caught in your gears. Oh, laser print masturbates the page, the ink, I lust for its blotches, as I feel everything in my heart empty.
Thanks, Julie. Careful how I phrase this, but I'd love to be inside Flip's mic sometimes as well. I'm going to tell Julie, if that's okay, one is short, and Jerry Murphy would agree this is short. I'll fight that over that. So this is called A Detailed Explanation Derived Via Exhaustive Analysis by the Foremost Minds from Our Foremost Establishments, Eton, Oxford, Harvard, etc. of the Brexit stay made in the UK Parliament. Adults are behaving like children. And this one is called Stormy Weather, after the Pixies. I've never done this before, but there's a phrase in here, mal de mal, which is French for seasickness. And there's a word called hex, which is an old word for a witch. Stormy Weather, after the Pixies. When gigantic waves of mutilation rock my soul until Mal de Mar takes me down to the winter long well, I can't forget my blue-eyed hex. So I bleed the happening from greens and blues over Boston, over rock and roots, particularly the high planet of sound and make-believe. The thing is tamed, blown away to an island of enchantment, where I am amazed by saints dancing with silver manta ray pixies in a palace of divine that breaks on my body. But so caught in a dream, all I think about is a space in heaven I believe will levitate me. So one lovely day, I'll be ready for love.
You're all good, Stan. And last but not least on the list is Dol Harding.
The first poem I read tonight was about Philistines who cut down trees, and I actually spent this morning planting trees, and as I came away from the wood, I saw a jay, a crow, and there are crows, a generic term for a black bird.
Yes.
In Ireland, there are seven blackbirds, and they're called crows. First one is called a raven, then you've got the grey crow, and then the rook, and the chough, and the jay, the magpie, and the jackdaw, and the rarest of them all in Ireland is the jay. And as I came away from planting my trees this morning, I saw the jay. He's kind of unique as a crow because he's got pink on his side. And so he's got a kind of colour on him. Most crows have got just black or white or grey or something. This is called Tumbling Chuffs. When I hear my hunter scratching on the door around midnight, sometimes I know it's only a dream. And at dawn, glancing out the window, I spot the chuffs whiffing towards the sea, celebrating a new day. Their tumbling cries have no memory of yesterday and no plans for tomorrow. Sea-bound, exulting in the windlift, wonderfully carefree. And it is a wondrous sight, this frolicking team, merrily dancing out their lives, brightening each day in screams of ecstasy. My own comes to me, begging, with his hanged-out look. But I wish you were a chuff, awakening from a tumbling dream, and free as any bird can be. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks, Dol. I'm going to end the evening. I was delighted to see Alan Tidley, and I'm pretty sure you all enjoyed his poems and his personality. Gurbino Mago Blair, I was shocked, and yeah, we'll see you soon. Gurbino Mago Sani Mago.